Danielle Jenkins, what's going on?
Hey, Brandon. I'm really excited about today's episode, actually, because I was talking to a few people last week and they were saying that they had a few reservations or concerns about developing the perfect business plan. And I thought, oh, how perfect. We have Brandon for that.
Yeah. So Danielle thought it would be a good idea and texted me this morning that we were going to go off schedule and that I could do a mini class on how to do a business plan. Full disclosure, I just wrote a whole book on this. It will be out. We'll put some links. I don't know that we'll be able to pre-order the book, but we will put some sort of link in the show notes that you could get some sort of handout to help you with this. I originally taught this course to about 15, I taught a course, and it was to about 1,500 students I've had, maybe 1,600 by now, on how to do a business plan in 13 slides. When I came back and revised it for a book, I sent it to a few people. One of my good friends wrote back and she said, you can't do 13. I don't like the number 13. You need to figure it out. And I was like, well, that's what it does. Like, spent 20 years building this. It takes 13 slides. And she's like, oh, go figure it out. So I made it. I worked through and it's actually 11. It turns out to be better for a few reasons. One is it's a little bit more, it's simpler. It's updated to maybe what type of meeting you would get if you were going to use this to raise money. Because when you raise money, you have about 50 minutes in a meeting with an investor. And if you think 13 times two, that's 26. Most people can't do a slide in 2 minutes. They'll do it in three or four. Now you've got 10 minutes of Q&A. The math, this is really a math equation. And it really has to be simple. And simple, as you know, is so hard to do. So it was a real challenge, especially as good as I know this subject, having used it for myself, building business plans and using them to raise money and having seen them, it was difficult. But we got there. So I'm going to attempt to give a little mini masterclass for everyone listening. And then there will be a link in the show notes, which you can get something and you can always reach out to us if you have any questions. So here we go.
Let's go. I'm excited.
The first slide is really simple. It's your just company name, logo, your name, and your contact information with your elevator pitch. And your elevator pitch, a good pitch, needs to be less than 15 seconds. I think, Danielle, didn't we do a whole episode on elevator pitch?
We did.
So we need to put that in the show notes. We did a whole episode on elevator pitch, including, I think in that one, I put the three mistakes that I often see people make, which are, and I'll mention them. You don't say your name, you don't tell your story, and you don't talk about why you're qualified. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, well, you have to do that, Brandon, go back, listen to the episode. It's completely spelled out. If you do that, you will probably lose someone. An example, and in the book, I came up with it. I actually came up with an example of a good one, an okay one, and a terrible one. And for listeners out there, because we need to move on to slide two here, a good one would be, and this is complete self-promotion of the software company that I started, but it took so long to get this right, which is a company called File Finder, and the elevator pitch is, we help you find files that you know you have but can't find faster.
Bravo.
I think that was less than 4 seconds. And people's reaction is, tell me more, or I want that, or... And then they will say, once you explain it or I explain it, then they'll say, well, how did you come up with that? Why are you qualified? That's what you're trying to do in your elevator pitch. That's the reaction you want. And if you can't do it, I'm being generous. 15 seconds too long. Like, Danielle, if you met someone and I don't know, you met them in line or you met them in an elevator, take it like literally, and someone didn't give you something that fast, I mean, aren't you going to just lose concentration?
Totally. My focus derails really quick.
Yeah. And everyone does that, especially with media. So first slide, title, all your information, your logo, and you give your elevator pitch. I will say this, when you're building your business plan, you're not going to get it as tight as what I just gave you, and that's okay. But I do want you to get at least something, because by the time you get to the end of the 11 slides, you will have a better idea. And to set expectations, it can take 6 to 12 months to really dial that in. So, but you got to practice, and you got to practice on people, and then you got to look at those people in the eye and see what happens when you say it. And that's how you're going to figure out if your elevator pitch is good or not. Do not be in an echo chamber, meaning just in your own world. You've got to get out there and you've got to try it on people you don't know, not your mom. Your mom's going to tell you that it's good no matter what, most of the time. Next slide is your problem slide. So what problem are you solving? And the idea in a business is you've got to solve a problem that's painful enough that someone is willing to pay you for. And there's a lot of great ideas out there that people think are a problem, but will not pay an amount of money for that you can make money in your business. And the equation for that is a person tries something, the pain they experience is existing solutions are broken because it's that simple. If you can fill that in, there's a few nuances to that. And we could probably talk about that slide for an hour, but that's your problem slide. And the key, again, is to remember that you're solving a problem that is painful enough that you can charge enough to make money. And then there's different types of problems. There's an aspirin problem and a vitamin. So, and they're going to be marketed differently, which means in your financials, you're going to have to reflect that. Because if I try to sell Danielle a Louis Vuitton, I don't know, you don't buy Louis. What do you buy?
I don't buy Louis. I hate Louis.
I know you've recorded me on that before it came out of my mouth. What do you buy?
I like YSL.
Oh, YSL. If I'm trying to convince someone like Danielle to pay $5,000 for a YSL purse, I'm going to have to market that very differently than a bottle of aspirin because Danielle has a headache. I do not have to spend a lot of marketing money on the aspirin. I'm going to spend a lot of money, and there's a lot of money in that marketing purse that was probably made for $12 somewhere else. So you got to think about these things when you're going through your problem and you're coming up with it. And even if you're listening and you have a business, which you probably do, if you listen to this show with Danielle and I, then a lot of the times you might have gotten to a place but haven't completely defined it. And I found that when I work with people who have that, or even work on myself, and I go back and define it, everything in my business gets so much easier because once you really understand that basic. So far we've done your title slide and we've done your problem slide. Next is your solution slide. So what is your solution? And are the economics enough on the back of a napkin? You can do this, which is the title of the book I wrote, which is Back of the Napkin to a Business Plan in 11 Slides. So easy you can do it on a flight from San Francisco to New York. You see that elevator pitch? That's an elevator pitch that people can be like, oh, I mean, the reaction, and that took a long time to get to, the reaction that I've gotten and the reason I've stuck with that, which I, since it's not published yet, reserve the right to change. But we're like, oh, and you know what people say, Danielle, when I give that pitch? They're like, I love it. You can do it on a plane flight from San Francisco to New York. It's not about any of the other things.
Right.
It's about that. And that's again, the type of reaction you're trying to get with your business. Now, whether people will pay $17.95 for that, we'll find out. But, you know, my thing is if they don't, then I'm probably not taking their life or their business too seriously. But I'm completely biased. So on the solution is what is your solution? Why does it actually solve the problem? And does it actually solve that problem? So you really have to make sure that that's slide three. Slide four is your market opportunity. I reworked this. I used to say you need to build your market opportunity slide from the bottom up. I amend that and say you can actually start from the top, meaning let's say we are doing a fishing lure business. The fishing market's $52 billion. And then you work down to actually what part of that market you can address. Because I just got a deck the other day from a very smart woman who is raising angel money. And I looked at her market opportunity slide and she let's say she's in the healthcare space. She puts the healthcare market in the United States up there. And then she's like, oh, if we can just get 1%. Let me just tell you right now, if you want to fail in your business and you want to fail, if you want to raise money, that is the equation right there. Because that is not how it works, because you can't use that to actually drive your marketing. If you say, I'm going to get 1%, what's that mean? We're going to market to all the United States? Or if you're in Canada, are we going to market to everybody in Canada? No, you are not going to do that. But if you go from fishing lure market, 52 billion, and you get down to fishermen in California and a $32 million, I'm doing this out of memory, $32 million market. Well, now we've got a market, and you could say, well, Brandon, that's not a big market. Well, that's not your end market, but it's certainly not 52 billion. That includes fishing rods, fishing reels, trips, boats, and everything else. I mean, you're never going to address that market. You're selling a fishing lure. But if we get down to $32 million in California, okay, well, that's a market we can start with. And we can figure out now how we're going to address that market by saying there's 52 tackle shops in California. We're going to sell to them on wholesale. 40% of our business is going to go there. So in this market opportunity slide, you are defining the market, but you are doing it because not just for the sake of just saying, hey, we're going to get this is how big or how much money we can make, but rather it is going to drive the rest of your plan. So cool. Remember that. So far we've done title and elevator pitch, slide 2, your problem, slide 3, your solution, slide 4, your market opportunity, slide 5 is your go-to market. So now that you know your market and you've got your addressable market, you can now figure out how you're going to sell your product. For you and your business, Danielle, when you started and you were doing flyers, it wasn't, I'm going to market a cleaning service to all of Canada. It was, I'm going to market not even to all of Orangeville. It was, no. I'm going to market to my part of Orangeville and use that as the beachhead, and then I'm going to expand. That's exactly what your go-to-market says. It says, I'm going to start here, and then I'm going to progress through here. And it also, when you're doing your go-to-market, says what type of business model you have. If you have a product you say, oh, well, I'm going to sell to retailers, well, now you are selling wholesale to a retailer who is selling, obviously, to the end customer. If you're going DTC, direct to consumer, well, that's your model. You're going to manufacture it. Maybe you're not even going to store it. Maybe you're going to drop ship it. And in this go-to-market model or slide, you can see that we are now also thinking about the economics, because we are eventually, spoiler alert, going to get to financials, where you have to build the financials out. And as we build these slides, we will understand what those economics look like by the time we get there. So your go-to-market is how you're going to sell this thing. And like I said, it's you could go direct to consumer, you could do wholesale, you could do a distributorship or a distributor, which now you've got two steps before you get to the end customer. So there's all these models, and that's what you want to define in your go-to-market. Slide number 6 is traction and milestones. So what traction do you have and what are your milestones? And the milestones are 12 to 18 months, no longer. Anything else, even with your business, Danielle, you've got a several million dollar business. You've been in business, what now, 7 or 8 years?
Like 5 or 6, Brandon.
5 or 6, all right. The 5 or 6 years, even with that level of visibility, you still really don't know what happens in 24 months. If you had made that prediction and then COVID comes, like you're, so focus on 12 to 18 months. You are going to do a 5-year projection in your financials, mainly to sort of test yourself to say, hey, what is this? What could this look like? And is it reasonable? But set your milestones and goals for 12 to 18 months. On traction, it's what traction do you have today and what traction do you want? Traction could be, I have an email list of 1,000 people and I want it to be 50,000 people by when. It could be I have X in sales. It could be as simple as that. I have $1 million in sales and I want to get to 3 million in 18 months. And then what that's going to drive is, or will already have been spelled out as your go-to-market slide. So you can see sort of how the progression goes here. So Now we have our title and our elevator pitch, our problem slide, our solution slide, our market opportunity slide, our go-to-market slide, our traction and milestones, and now we do competition, which is slide 7, which is what is your competition and how are you different? And it's really just that simple. The only thing that I will say here, we're not going to go into super details today, but is you don't want to focus on your competition. You want to be aware of your competition, but you do not want to focus and you do not want to react. Otherwise, you're just a step behind.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot control your competition. I mean, you can control your competition by the moves you make in the market of which they may react, mm-hmm. but you can't control that. So don't waste time on that. Just focus on you. You will drive yourself insane by worrying about what they're doing and trying to react, and you'll be a step behind. So competition slide, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. You can do it on functions, features, service, whatever other types of metrics you want, but you're basically really trying to figure out how you differentiate yourself from your competition and how mm-hmm. you're going to do that moving forward. Number 8 is your financials. We do not have even remotely enough time today to do that. You are in your financials going to build out your profit and loss, your cash flow statement. For me, is the most important ones. Your marketing. Most people forget to build a marketing tab. You need a sales and marketing tab that drives your cash flow and P&L tabs. And if you don't have that, then you're not focused on your customer acquisition costs, your average revenue per user, ARPU, contribution margin, and these other things. And they are vitally important to figuring out how you're going to get that number in your P&L or cash flow number in the revenue. So you got to have those slides, and then probably an HR tab so that you understand what people will come to me and they'll say, well, we're just going to pay them $50,000. Well, I don't care where you are, whether you're in the United States or Canada, that $50,000 employee probably costs you about $60,000. And, mm-hmm. and that adds up over time. And there is where I see a lot of business owners, even experienced ones that have been in business 10 years, and they're like, hey, we're going to hire 10 people. Hiring 10 people is going to cost you a lot of capital. We, in a services company I had as an example, we stood up, I think, 25 or 50 people on a contract. It took $1 million of free cash flow. We're going to need $1 million of cash to onboard those people. And if you're not thinking that way, then you're fail because you won't have enough money to even get the business that you landed. Mm-hmm. So this is why we build financials. So that's slide 8. Slide 9 is your team. Who is your team? Who do you need? And what does that look like moving forward? And that's really how you are thinking about your team. And there's like, I have 11 or 12 qualities I look for in any team member. You and I have talked about this before. I don't even know. Did we do a show on that? I can't remember.
I think an old show, but maybe we should do another one soon.
Yeah, we'll do another show. So that's your team slide. That's slide 9. Slide 10. The good news is you already have the answer to this because you did your financials, is how much funding do you need? So if you are going to get to 50 people, and you realize in your financials that you're going to need $1 million of cash to get there. And if you're wondering why, it's because you got to onboard these people in the services businesses. You're going to have to onboard these people, train them before you get to revenue with them. So you need to understand your funding. And in the slide, you're going to figure out where you're going to get that. Maybe you need no funding because your cash flow positive is not going to be a big deal the way that you collect. More likely than not, you're going to need some sort of cash to keep you going. And then you're going to figure out, are you going to do that on your credit card? Are you going to do that by going to the bank? Are you going to do the SBA loan in the United States? Are you going to do something else? That is your funding slide. And then finally, slide 11 is your summary. You take all the most important parts from main parts and you put it in slide number 11. And that's your executive summary. That way, if you're only having a 10-minute meeting, you can pull up that one slide. And 10-minute meeting could be pitching a customer, could be trying to hire an employee. It could be a million other things that you use this business plan for. And now you effectively have a executive summary. So just in going back over these 11 slides, first one is your title and elevator pitch. Your second one is your problem. Third is your solution. Fourth is your market opportunity. Fifth is your go-to market. Sixth is your traction and milestones. Seven is your competition. 8 is your financials, 9 is your team, 10 is funding, and 11 is your summary. And that is your business plan in 11 slides.
Wow. That was very impressive, Brandon. I'm quite mesmerized by how you just did that so quick. And I think what we will do, because I know a lot of people have reached out about knowing more about this, maybe we'll break those down into some maybe smaller episodes, each section or something like that. So people really do understand the importance behind each one of those slides, or we could even discuss it in our mastermind.
Well, that would be free promotion for us that Danielle and I do have a mastermind, and I help anybody in that group with this sort of stuff and happy to do. It can be a lot easier to do it on a one-on-one basis versus some general. So we'll put all that stuff in the show notes, and if anybody has any comments or questions, we read them and you can drop them there.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brandon. That was phenomenal. Way to go.
Thanks, everyone. See ya. Bye. Bye, everyone.